someplace else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. It's been an awesome start to the podcast, like I had mentioned yesterday. So much momentum, so many kind comments given to me on Twitter, so many people subscribing, leaving five-star reviews, leaving written reviews. Have loved it. Have loved every bit of it. Thank you. Thank you so much for being so welcoming and starting this journey together. Here to close the week strong with some different discussions. We're going to take a break from the State of the Roster series, where Wednesday and Thursday had spent time on Wednesday going through the quarterbacks on the Bills roster and Thursday on the running backs. And today we're going to get into a variety of things. We're going to talk about a new head coach in the AFC East, one that we're familiar with. We'll talk about Thomas Davis and the possibility of him coming to the Buffalo Bills, as well as some Bills-specific targets for the Shrine game that is next week. I am actually leaving my house on Saturday, this coming Saturday, and I am not returning until Sunday the 27th. So I've got a couple of busy weeks on the road, but don't worry, I'll give you a daily podcast of Locked On Bills, so that's not going away, but I'll have to record it remotely, and I've made accommodations to make sure I can deliver that for you. So yes, I'm heading to St. Petersburg, Florida on Saturday for Shrine Week. It's the first big all-star event in the NFL draft scouting process, and then obviously the following week I'll be in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. And so we'll, you know, throughout the course of the next 2 weeks, we're going to continue with a lot of shows that are going to expand upon our State of the Roster series, but also, you know, some specific stuff where we talk about Shrine Game and Senior Bowl and Bill's specific information from those events. I certainly hope to get a chance to speak with some of the Bills coaching staff and executives and see what I can get for you. And I'll do my best. I will do my very best on those fronts. But first thing I wanted to do is talk about Adam Gase, the fired head coach of the Miami Dolphins and the hired head coach of the New York Jets. So Adam Gase is not unemployed for long, and he remains in the AFC East. It was kind of fun looking at some of the Twitter reaction from you guys. Put out a tweet from the Locked On Bills account and had some feedback on this. And so I thought it'd be fun to bring you guys into the show here a little bit and share the comments that you made to that tweet before I kind of make you guys aware of what I think about the Jets, the division rival New York Jets, bringing in Adam Gase as their next head coach. So I have a few responses I'm going to read here. The first one comes from Frank Marino 48. I know that guy. That's my brother. He says, cautiously optimistic, obviously from a Bills fan's perspective. The Finns, the Finns players never really bought into him. Sean Brennan says, he actually just replied with the Anchorman, we are laughing gif. Christopher says McDermott is 3-1 against him, which could have easily been 4-0. I'll take it, referring to the one loss the Bills had against the Dolphins where Josh Allen and Charles Clay couldn't hook up there at the end, and the Bills fell to Miami in Miami this past season. But otherwise, Bills have handled the Dolphins pretty well under Adam Gase. The Wolf says, actually, he responded with a gif as well. Carl is the Carlton gif from Fresh Prince dancing. Obviously, he's pretty thrilled about that from a Bills fan perspective. Dynasty Mechanic says, some more free wins. All right, counting on some W's there with the Bills facing the Adam Gase-led Jets. JRM says, my biggest takeaway was it always seemed like he's fine from an X's and O's perspective, but that he tends to rub people the wrong way with his personality. He gives snarky responses in press conferences, and he's confrontational in interviews. He seems kind of like a prick. We'll see. Jeremy Pike, he says, it seemed like the team never fully bought into him in Miami. His top quarterback spent a decent amount of time hurt, though, so still he doesn't exactly inspire much fear. Jared just says, lols. And then Eric Hutchins, he says, I wasn't impressed with Gase in Miami, but now he has a quarterback and a ton of cap space to build a team, so he could make the Jets dangerous. And so I think on the surface level, I think it's not a very inspiring hire because we saw Adam Gase – not necessarily have a successful run as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, the injury to Ryan Tannehill last year and again carrying into this year with some time off as well kind of was inhibitive to them, their ability to really grow. And, I think it's bigger. My concerns with Gase are bigger than just, not being able to win in spite of the injuries to Tannehill is that I don't like his personality. I mean, you can just tell his body language, the way he interacts, the way he talks to the media, that he is just not a guy you think, wow, this guy's really going to lead a group of professional football players. And we spoke about this when we talked about, I think Wednesday, I mentioned about why the Bills should be thankful for Sean McDermott with some of these weird hires that other teams are making. And what it really comes down to is leadership and accountability. And I don't know that you really think about Adam Gase and say, wow, this is a guy that is going to do those things. If anything, he ran a lot of guys out of town. I mean, look at all the players that are no longer in Miami and then had some pretty strong remarks about him, about Gase, and seemed to be pretty happy to be out. Look at Jarvis Landry, Jay Ajayi, Jordan Phillips, obviously the Bills player there. So seems like he was quick to run out guys from that locker room. And so, I think there's a lot of reasons to not be overly inspired by this hire for the Jets. But what I think this really comes down to, I was actually exchanging tweets with a Jets fan who said, look, I'm not super excited, but if Sam Darnold is special, it won't matter. And he's exactly right. Quarterback, having a top-end special quarterback trumps everything. And so we can be skeptical about Gase, but the real success with the New York Jets is Sam Darnold. If he's going to be an elite quarterback, the New York Jets are going to be good despite Adam Gase. Now, Adam Gase is important to developing Sam Darnold. That's 100% true. But the reality is, if Sam Darnold's special, none of it matters because the Jets will be a problem. And so Darnold threw a lot of interceptions. He had a lot of lulls last year, but there was a lot of good games from him, especially down the stretch. Sam Darnold played really good football. He was the reason why the Jets won several football games. Really smart stuff. Really took care of the football at times. Made some throws down the field when he had to. But I don't think anybody could look at Sam Darnold objectively and say there's not a lot to be excited about there, because there is a lot to be excited about with Sam Darnold. And if he's going to be special, the Jets are going to be just fine regardless of who their head coach is. All right, so one thing that also kind of came through here recently was that the Carolina Panthers are not going to bring back Thomas Davis, linebacker. And anytime a Carolina Panther that has familiarity with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, they become available, I think we have to talk about them as potential Bills targets, because that's what history tells us. I mean, there's too many examples, too many connections between, the available Carolina players and them being brought into the Bills locker room. And so naturally we need to talk about Thomas Davis. He put out that video a couple minutes long about his time in Carolina has come to the end, and he wanted to continue playing football. It's interesting because before the season, he was announcing that this is his last year. He was retiring, but he is going to play in 2019. He says he has a lot of football left to play, and so he's going to seek that opportunity. And so I responded to that on Twitter, and I was very much thinking that Thomas Davis should be a Bills target, a player that the Bills should bring in. And let me tell you why I believe that. First of all, leadership. Losing Kyle Williams' leadership is going to matter a ton. I think everybody that's followed this team has an appreciation for that aspect of Kyle Williams. But, I mean, even the last game there where, all the different video clips were coming out that, his pregame speeches and just different things, you just even grew fonder of it, and you really kind of thought to yourself, man, this is going to be a big loss for this locker room. Well, I think you help replace a lot of that by bringing in a guy like Thomas Davis. I have been to a number of NFL practices, college practices, all-star circuit practices, and I watched a lot of football players in person, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And I've never seen a player practice with more energy than Thomas Davis, a total tone setter. It is team drills at the end of practice And Thomas Davis is flying around the football field like he's 12 years old. In practice, in Spartanburg, South Carolina, it's 100 degrees outside. And every time I've ever went to a Panthers practice, which is a number of times, I am so fond of his energy and the way that he sets the tone and leads by example. At 35 years old, he's running around in the heat with more energy than anyone else on the football field. I love that. I absolutely love that. That makes me want him to be a Buffalo Bill. Another thing about Thomas Davis. There's been some thoughts that he's declining. His skill set's declining. He's 35 years old. Scott Fowler with the Charlotte Observer, he wrote an article, a very controversial article, about how this was the right move for the Panthers and that Thomas Davis is declining and that, you know, they drafted Shaq Thompson with the idea that he would be Luke Kuechly's running mate and, you know, succeed Thomas Davis. And so the day has come. And so it was the right move for them to not bring him back. Well, let's look at that. Is Thomas Davis really declining? Let's check out what our friends at Pro Football Focus say about Thomas Davis. In 2018, he had his highest grade since 2015. Better than he was in 17 and 16. So we didn't talk about him declining in 16 and 17, but now we are in 2018 because he's not going to be part of the equation anymore. Thomas Davis is obviously not the player that he was 5 or 6 years ago, but is he a player that can help an NFL defense and provide a lot of leadership? Yes, I absolutely believe that. He's graded very strongly in coverage. His best coverage grade since 2015 as well. So I still think Thomas Davis can be a productive football player. He's 35 years old, but he produced his best season in 3 seasons this year. Another thing, a lot of people that are against the idea of bringing in Thomas Davis, they want to point to Lorenzo Alexander. And they say, well, why do you need them both? There's Tremaine Edmonds, there's Matt Milano, and there's Lorenzo Alexander. And so, you know, why would the Bills want Lorenzo Alexander and Thomas Davis, a couple of 35-year-old linebackers? Well, first of all, I think it's very exciting to think about Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, two young superstars of this defense, getting a chance to work with not only Lorenzo Alexander, but Thomas Davis. That in and of itself is appealing. But here's the thing. It's not an either-or thing. You can have both Lorenzo Alexander and Thomas Davis. They're different players. One doesn't preclude the other. If you bring in back Lorenzo Alexander, that doesn't mean you can't have Thomas Davis. Let me elaborate on that because, you know, look, Lorenzo Alexander is an extremely versatile football player. He is a guy who he played 799 snaps last year. Listen to this snap breakdown. Of those 799 snaps, 302 of them came playing defensive line. 325 of them came playing off-ball linebacker. And 172 of those came playing special teams. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that his reps at off-ball linebacker accelerated rapidly once, obviously, Matt Milano went down and the Bills needed another guy to play off the ball next to Tremaine Edmonds. In the 3 games that he played on this defense without Matt Milano, Lorenzo Alexander had 183 off-ball linebacker snaps. 183 of his 312 total snaps at off-ball linebacker. Across 16 games, 183 of those came in 3 games, the 3 games without Matt Milano. With Matt Milano in the lineup for 13 weeks, he only played 145 snaps at off-ball linebacker. This is a player that the Bills want to play in pass rush situations on the defensive line and on special teams. So I have a player that can occasionally play linebacker off the ball, preferably on early downs. As a strong side linebacker, you walk him down, have him take on blocks. But primarily, the Bills want Lorenzo Alexander to rush the passer and play special teams. Thomas Davis is a space player, a guy that you want playing off the ball, a guy that you want in a pursuit-style role, playing in coverage. They're not the same player. Lorenzo Alexander and Thomas Davis are different players, and they can coexist. I have no worries about that whatsoever. So if your big hang-up on bringing in Thomas Davis is Lorenzo Alexander, I hope I've given you information right here that lets you say, hey, oh, yeah, that, you know, look, I get it. I get it. They do different things. And so I think having complementary skill sets in Alexander and Davis together to go with your feature guys, make no mistake about it, the present and future of the position is Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. But I think there is a lot to be gained schematically and leadership-wise and development-wise for Milano and Edmonds by bringing in Thomas Davis and bringing back Lorenzo Alexander. The Bills have plenty of cap space. This isn't a concern. It's not like there's a big sacrifice here. So if your linebacker room going into the season is Alexander, Thomas Davis, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, and whatever depth you want, sign me up for that. All right, I hope that was convincing, because I am very convinced that it would be a wonderful thing to bring in Thomas Davis and bring back Lorenzo Alexander. All right, so like I mentioned, headed to Shrine Week here, and I've been doing a lot of scouting of these football players, so I'm very familiar with the guys I'm going to be seeing in St. Pete. And so there are some guys, when I went through all of these rosters and I said, okay, which players specifically would make sense for the Bills to be focused on and as potential players to target in the draft? Now, the Shrine Game is not the Senior Bowl, so we're not talking first or second round players usually. Now, that's possible, but by and large, these are mid-round guys. And so when we're talking about these guys, keep that in mind. All right, so I've got several, so we'll get through as many as we can here without going too deep on you. First of all, Kadri Olison. He's a running back from Pittsburgh. And I think we talked, goodness gracious, if you listen to Thursday's show, I think I established pretty clear that the Bills need an infusion of young talent at the running back position. Olison's a guy I like a ton. He started out his career standout freshman at over 1,100 yards and 11 touchdowns, but he faded pretty strongly there in the last couple of years, 2016, 2017. And then he reestablished himself this past season as a senior, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. And really him and his backfield mate Darren Hall were the reason why Pitt won the ACC Coastal Division and played against Clemson in the ACC Championship game. This two-headed monster running attack was really dynamic. And so what I love about Olison is that he's big. He's like 6'2", 230. But I think he offers a lot of traits to go with that size. Obviously, the size and the physical running style that he brings to the table is pretty evident when you watch him. But I think that he's got really good vision. I think he has good acceleration for his size. And I think he catches the football really, really well, especially for his skills, you know, what his physical traits are. So I think that Olison checks a lot of boxes. I think he's a guy that the NFL will value somewhere on day three. And I think he's a guy that can produce. And so you're talking about building up the depth with some younger players. Kadri Olison, running back from Pittsburgh, is somebody that really is very intriguing to me. Next name I want to bring to the table is Miami offensive tackle Tyree St. Louis. He's a three-year starter for them. He spent 2 years at right tackle, and he flipped over to left tackle this past season. And I thought he was really going to have a breakout season moving over to the left side, because I watched his tape in 2017 over the summer, and I thought to myself, there's a lot of really exciting physical traits here. He's 6'5", 312, got a lot of length. He moves really well for his size, and I have no questions about his power. I mean, so when you think about those foundational traits, are really exciting. Like to really develop, that's a good foundation to build from. But you got a little bit concerned with some of his pass set angles, some of his bend issues, and thought, okay, well, if he can get that technical side down, he can really pop. And so he moved over to left tackle, and I don't think he had a bad year. He just didn't really take the next step that I was hoping for. But like I said, the physical tools are there, and I think when you think about like a developmental offensive tackle prospect, I think this is a really intriguing player. So if the Bills were to invest in that position somewhere on day three, Tyree St. Louis would be a player that I'd be really comfortable using a draft pick on. And then, you know, obviously keeping close watch on him this week in St. Pete and seeing how he does and how he fares. And I think there's a lot to work with. I hope to see a lot of improvement with his pass sets. I want to talk about a couple of – well, let me get in a wide receiver. I think we all know the Bills need some playmakers. And there is one that I like a ton, DeMarcus Lodge. He's from Ole Miss. He's 6'1", 199. And there is a lot of nuance to the way this guy plays. his ability to beat press coverage is really dynamic. He's outstanding in the contact window, and so you don't really have to worry about him getting rerouted or jammed at the line of scrimmage. He's got a lot of different techniques for beating press coverage, and then I think he's a great route runner. He sells his route breaks, knows how to separate. He wins vertically, very explosive. He can go up and get the football. Great body control. He blocks. Like, that matters. That speaks to his competitive toughness. The one knock on him is he does have some really disappointing drops. Like, he doesn't necessarily always finish how you like him to, but I think his dynamic upside, his playmaking upside, and all those other things I talk about, it's a trade-off that you're comfortable with, you know, to not necessarily finish consistently. I know the NFL doesn't like him as much as I do, or else he'd be at the Senior Bowl. I've also spoke to some NFL scouts that have some questions about his route tempo and different things, but watch the tape, man. If you get a chance to watch DeMarcus Lodge, go to YouTube and watch some cut-ups of him. I think you'll like what you see there. And so we're talking about a day three wide receiver. I think that he's a player that can really contribute. And, you know, this whole Ole Miss wide receiver core of A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf and DeMarcus Lodge, I think all three of those guys will be productive NFL players. But DeMarcus Lodge is the one at Shrine Game for us to focus on. I want to mention two defensive ends that I think would be interesting for the Bills to take a look at. Thinking about building up the depth of the defensive end position for the Bills, I mean, Eddie Yarborough and Mike Love, those guys played a good bit, and neither one of them do much. And so I'd like to see those guys get some real challenging competition this year. Obviously, Shaq Lawson entering his contract season. So, you know, I think the need for some youth and some guys to challenge the depth of the roster is really important. There's two defensive ends that I like a ton that are going to be at the Shrine Game. Wyatt Ray from Boston College, he actually had a great senior season, 11 and a half tackles for a loss, 9 sacks. He's got a lot of speed. So, like, his ability to stress offensive tackles to keep up with him around the outside arc is really impressive, because I think he's got a lot of juice and his arc speed is really good. Now, do I think there's a lot of work for him to do in terms of developing the technical side of rushing the passer, using his feet, using his eyes, and knowing how to attack blocks, using his hands to soften pass rush angles? All of that stuff needs to be developed, but his blend of burst, speed, and bend, really, really exciting. And so a lot of times when we talk about edge rushers and guys that are you know, later round guys, you talk about how they have the technical side, but they're not necessarily dynamic athletes. Well, we have the opposite here with Wyatt Ray. And what makes me excited about him is the stuff that he needs work on is teachable stuff, and the stuff that we're comfortable with is the uncoachable stuff. So there's a package here that really is intriguing to me. I think Wyatt Ray might be the top overall prospect at the Shrine Game. So really intriguing player to me. The last player I'm going to mention here is Tennessee defensive end Kyle Phillips. He was a former 5-star recruit, didn't develop under Butch Jones, but he had a great season this past year under Jeremy Pruitt, the new Tennessee Vols head coach. He's the reason. I mean, he's a big reason why they upset Auburn this past year. He was dynamic in that game. I think he's a really outstanding run defender, and I think that he is a player that has inside and outside pass rushing upside. And he's physically gifted. He just hasn't been developed. And so I'm hoping to see some growth from him at the Shrine Game, where he's get the NFL coaching and he's able to, you know, look, he's got a professional career in the NFL on the line here after kind of having a disappointing career blossoming as a senior. And so he's got a lot of momentum going into the event. And so I'm anxious to see how he takes to more coaching and if there's more here, because I kind of want to label him a 4-3 base end, but some of his inside pass rush reps get me excited about him being able to, you know, win from linear pass rush angles. But, you know, does he have a skill set to be honed in on and developed as that outside pass rusher? So some names, I'll recap those names for you just real quick. I said offensive tackle Tyree St. Louis from Miami, defensive end Kyle Phillips from Tennessee, running back Kadri Olison from Pitt, wide receiver DeMarcus Lodge from Ole Miss, and defensive end Wyatt Ray from Boston College. Those would be my Bills targets. If I said that the Bills really should focus on five guys at the Shrine Game, those are the most intriguing to me. So I'll be down there to cover it all for you and let you know what I can find out from a Bills perspective. Looking forward to it. Enjoy your weekend, folks. Really, really appreciate getting this podcast journey with Locked On Bills off to a hot start and obviously continuing that moving forward. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. You can follow Locked On Bills on Twitter at Locked On Bills. And it's fun. I'm gonna poll your replies and I'm going to read them on this podcast. So whenever we kind of have some stuff where I solicit opinions, give me the juice. Give me the hot takes because I'm going to bring them to the podcast and make sure that you guys are a part of this show. If you have any suggestions, hit me up on Twitter. DMs are open. You can reply to tweets. Love interacting with you guys. So let's, you know, this isn't just me talking to you for 25 minutes a day. You know, let's engage each other. Let's continue this discussion. This is what I do, man. This is what I love. So let's talk football. Don't be a stranger. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Tell a friend about the podcast, and I'll talk to you guys again on Monday.